Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. And we're preaching here about the head covering for the ladies. And a lot of people don't like this, but that's fine. So, but remember that the topic, the subject matter of 1 Corinthians 11 is not just the head covering. Remember that. It's talking about things offered unto idols. That's what the whole subject here is about. And he gets into the Lord's Supper later in this chapter, chapter 11. He gets into that. But right now, what he wants us to understand is that it's good for a woman to wear a head covering. The Bible says in verse number 10, 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is a man, the head of Christ is God. Every man," in verse number 3, I need to say this too, that this is a little bit different than it was in the creation, because in the creation, man and woman were equal. They were equal. But because of sin that came into the world, that's all changed. And so there's a new commission given to people that they might do right. That's why he says, verse number 3, that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is a man. The head of Christ is God. Verse number 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. And who is her head? Verse number 3 tells us that it's her husband. That's who it tells us. Verse number 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Verse number 8 down through verse number 10 is speaking about the creation. But then it changes in verse number 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. And then verse number 13. He says, "Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered?" And so in verse number 13, the word comely there means appropriate. Is it appropriate for the woman to pray uncovered? Verse number 14, "Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." Let's go, Lord, if you would, into a word of prayer and ask God to help us tonight. Our Father, I pray, Lord, that you might encourage us as we live in this world. I pray, Lord, that you might help us to be understanding what your word says, that we might know exactly what it means, and or what you expect of us. Because, Lord, we don't just expect things of each other. Rather, Lord, we expect to be with you, and we want to be right before you. And that's what it's really all about. I ask you, Lord, to watch over us tonight. Have us, Lord, as we honor you as we preach. And I pray, Lord, that you might help us, that we might be fit in your own service. I pray, Lord, that you might cause us not to be hindered as we bring this message. I know, Lord, that the devil don't want to be talked about at all. And Lord, I know that he'll put things in my mind that shouldn't be there. Lord, I pray that you might help me. I might be clear, and I might be consistent in the things that we say. I pray just forgive us for our sins. Help us, Lord, to be close to you today. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. In verse number 4 and 5 is where we're going to start tonight. And the Bible says the same thing, and a lot of the same thing in these two verses. Every man praying or prophesying. Praying is when you talk to God. Prophesying is when you talk to each other. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head, that is, Christ. And he's talking here about worship services, not just talking about when you're in the field or when you're just walking around or when you're just talking to people. He's not talking about that. He's talking about in worship services. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. His head is, according to verse number 3, Christ. In verse number 5, he says, but. So it's a contradiction, not a contradiction, it's a contra way of looking at things. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth. And so here we find women can also pray or prophesy. That's what the Bible says. With her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. If you look at this thing in verse number 5, every woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. Who is her head? Well, according to verse number 3, that's the man. Every woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. That's what it's saying. Now, we say sometimes that praying or prophesying, that's proclaiming God's truth to God's people, right? That's what we say. This praying or prophesying in verse 4 and verse 5 means that we ought to be before God as He wants us to be. He says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 34, 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 34. He says, let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Verse number 35 says this, if they will learn anything, if a woman has a question, then she needs to ask her own husband at home. That's what the Bible said in verse number 35. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the churches. And so here we find in verse number 14, verse 34 and 35, that's not contradiction to 1 Corinthians 11. It's not a contradiction at all. Paul wouldn't do that. Paul would not say one thing, then turn around and say something else again. No. Our understanding of what he's saying, that might be a problem. But what Paul really said was not a problem. And he uses this term, praying or prophesying, to women. And he uses the same phrase to the men. But the Bible says that a man He should not have his head covered whenever he prays or prophesies. A woman, however, is different. A woman, she needs to have her head covered when she prays or prophesies. That's what the Bible says. If she doesn't have her head covered, the Bible said she ought to shave her head. Wow, that's kind of tough, isn't it? Well, but the Bible said in verse number 6, but if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn, that is, shaved. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. The whole thing boils down to what he's saying in verse number 7. The whole thing, I think, comes down to this one thing. In verse number 7, the Bible said, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. You think of this, men. As you are standing before the Lord, your head is not covered. You're standing beside your wife. If her head is not covered, and your head is not covered, then you would say, that's a great equality. You might say that. But that's not what God says. God says there is a great inequality there because of sin that came into the world. And God changed things around. I've read before, I won't read it again tonight, but how that God gave a commission to the Adam and his wife before sin came into the world. And then he gave another one in Genesis chapter 3 after sin came into the world, that the woman was supposed to be under subjection to the man because of sin. We still live under that same principle tonight. We still live there. And so when he looks at his wife, he's standing before God, and he looks at his wife, and she is covered, then he is recognizing right away that there's a reason for that. He's recognizing right away that this beloved woman that he's chosen to be his wife, that she has covered her hair to show that she is right there with him as he stands before God. The women look at it a little bit different than that. The man, he's looking here, he's saying, I have now this helpmeet that God has graciously given me. She is a very able helpmeet for me. And as he stands before God and he looks at his wife, what a blessing and a glory that is to himself, to his family, that she is putting herself under submission to him, and she's able to worship God because of him, because of her head. Her head is the man, according to verse number 3. According to verse number 3, the head is the head of the woman is the man. And so she's able to do that. Verse number 7, there's another perspective we're going to look at. That is of the woman. Let's read verse 7 again. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. When the woman comes before God, she can see that there's someone fleshly that is over her, not to control her. That's not what he's talking about at all. But in the status of glory, there is one above her. And who is that one? It's not the preacher. It's not the church. It's her husband. She is placing herself in a position that she is going to be responsible unto her husband, and her husband unto the Lord. She understands what verse 3 really means. She's getting that point. And she understands. She understands her own sin. She understands that she listened to the wrong one in the Garden of Eden. She listened to Satan, and she took of the fruit and gave to her husband, and they both did eat. And sin came upon the world. That's what the covering is all about. To show the power of Christ, who is in submission to His Father. That's what it's all about. It's not a degrading thing at all. It should never be used as something to degrade any woman. Never should be used that way. It is not that way. It is rather to elevate her. When a man looks around him and he understands that he is standing before God and before Christ, who is standing before God, then he looks at his wife and he sees her covering. That's a great, great thing. But she sees her covering, that she is there on equal plane now before God because of the covering. That's what this is all about. Then in verse number 8, 9 and verse number 10, these verses are speaking about creation. And then in verse number 11 and verse number 12 are speaking about now. If you look at those verses like that, it'll help you, help me anyway. So I hope that'll help you as well to see it like that. In verse number 8, 9, and verse number 10, it's talking about creation. The Bible says, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was a man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman have power on her head because of the angels." In verse number 8, who was created first? The woman or the man? Everybody knows that. Well, the man was created first. And then, how was the woman created then? The man was created from the dust of the ground. But how was the woman created? Not from the dust of the ground. Not at all. She was considered to be a helpmeet for the Lord. For the man, I mean. She was created from the rib of Adam. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And Adam slept. And God, in the first surgery, created a woman. And when Adam saw it, he said, "Wow, this is good. This is really good. Because now I have a helpmeet." You know, before the creation, Adam had named all the animals, and all the animals had somebody, but he didn't have anybody. And then God caused him to be asleep, and God caused this woman to be created from his rib. So that's where a woman came from. See, he says verse number 8, verse number 9, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man." That's what all come about to start with. In verse number 9, neither was a man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. That's why that God created the woman. He created her for the man. There was no help meet for him. Nobody at all to be there by his side to help him in his everyday needs. There's nobody. And so God created a woman. What a great day that was. It was really a great, fantastic thing. The Bible said in verse number 10, "For this cause ought the woman have power on her head because of the angels." Today we're living in a fallen world. We're living in a time when sin has entered the world. But I believe that the angels of God watch over our worship services. And that's what I believe. I believe they're here. I believe they're looking in. And the Bible says that this woman, she needs to have power. Look at that word, the power. That's authority. That's what that means. That's power on her head because of the angels. Somebody would say, no, it can't be that way. Because if a woman covers her hair, then that is showing that she's in submission to this man. But the Bible is saying here in this place that the woman that covers her hair because of her husband's sake, she is showing the power that only God can give. She has power on her head because of the angels. And you husbands know this, that your wife's opinion means much. It means more than anybody else's opinion. You husbands know that. You can't deny it. But you and me both know it's true. You want your wife to help you. And sometimes us men, we need a little bit of help. And sometimes we need a whole lot of help. That's just the truth. And so when the woman covers up her hair, and she is showing, and it's in worship services, and she is showing submission to the husband, I tell you what, this has, it's a great, great thing when the woman says to the man, by covering up her hair, when she says to the man, whatever you decide, that will be perfectly fine with me. Somebody says, well, that's not, don't make sense at all. I'll tell you what, you men know exactly what I'm talking about. When your wife turns and she tells you, okay, I have, this is what I think that we ought to do, but because you're my husband, because you're the one that is leading our family, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to put my will under your will. That is a powerful statement. That is a very powerful statement. Men, it'll shake your rocks. I mean, the thing you're standing on, your foundation, it'll destroy it. If you're wrong, and she knows you're wrong, but she's going to be submissive to you anyway, because you are the head of the family. I mean, that is power. Verse number 10, "For this cause ought the woman have power on her head because of the angels." The angels that watch over our assemblies. The angels that are looking in on us as we worship God. They ought to see this. And they do see it. They see the right order, the correct order, if we could say, of a person that's wanting to be under submission to Almighty God. They see the husband as he's standing there before Christ, and Christ is before God. And men, we are nothing but sinners. That's all we are. We have no power outside of the grace and help of Almighty God. That's all we've got. But when we look at the one that we have chosen to be our life's blessing to us in our life, we look at our spouse, our wives, and it's a thrill to know that she is putting herself under my guidance. Whatever I say is what she'll do. I tell you what, you might say that takes the wind out of yourself. Well, it doesn't. It adds. It makes me, as a husband, it makes me want to be more right than I've ever been before. I stand before Christ, who stands before His Father. Jesus Christ always prayed that He would do His Father's will. And as a husband, I need to always pray that I do Jesus' will, that I might be able to perform God's will. But I have someone on my side. Not only is Christ there, but my wife is there. My wife is there. That's a symbol to me. What a blessing that is to see this in my life. Husbands, you need somebody. Every husband here ought to say amen to this. You need some help. You do. And you know who your help is? It's your wife. She's the one that she's with you through thick or thin. I mean, she's with you. That's why, for this cause, ought the woman have power on her head because of the angels. In verse number 11, he continues his thought of verse number 10. Thought about how it is now. And verse number 10 is how it is now too. To me, verse number 10 fits in with both verse number 8 and 9 and with 11 and 12. It all fits. There's just one idea that Paul is trying to get, but he's using this one verse, number 10, to connect together verse number 8 and 9 and continue into verse number 10, number 11, and verse number 12. Now, that's what I see. In verse number 11, he speaks here about the way it is now. Now, in verse number 11, it's not a contradiction to verse number 8 and 9. Not a contradiction at all. In the beginning, the woman was created from the rib of Adam. But in verse number 11, nevertheless, neither is a man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. So the way it is today is that there is a necessity of the birth. Every woman that gives a birth to a man a man-child. That's what they're called. And the scripture called a man-child. In verse 11 and verse number 12, nevertheless, neither is a man without the woman. So a man today needs a woman. He needs her to make it one. When a couple is married, they are joined, two that's joined together in one. They become one in the Lord. That's right. But the Bible said neither the woman without the man in the Lord. So they become one in the Lord. Verse number 12, for the woman is of the man. That's true. Talking about creation. Even so is a man also by the woman. So when a woman gives birth to a man child, he said, this is all things are of God. In verse number 11 and 12, he puts that all together into one. Then in verse number 13, he says this, judge in yourselves. So here's something you can just look at for yourselves. He's talking to the early believers here in the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, this is not a good church to start with. I think some of us would probably turn it down if we were looking for a church. We'd turn it down. They had a lot of stuff that's wrong with them. But he says this to this church. He said, judge in yourselves. Is it comely? That is it appropriate that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Judging yourselves. You just figure this out. When we come together in services, we only call upon men to pray. And I think that's right. We don't call on women to pray. Do women pray anyway? I hope you say yes. You need to pray anyway, even if you're not called upon to pray. Judging yourselves, is it appropriate, comely, that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Is it right? When God, I'm not talking about the way we look at it. Don't look at it that way. Look at things the way God looks at it. Is it comely? Is it right? Is it appropriate that a woman pray unto God uncovered? What does the covering even mean? You go back to verse 3, and you'll find out what the covering really means. As Paul gives that exposition in verse 4 and 5, he continues that same thought. The Bible says in verse 14, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? In verse 14, we can get into how long is long. All right? Drives me crazy. How long is long? I was thinking just today that I saw a picture of a man. I think if I remember correctly, the time of his birth was like 1710, and he died in 1770, something like that. This is a picture that he had. He had long hair. I think he had long hair. That's what I would call it. It was way down here. It was just, I don't think I've got it. It was long hair. It was really long. Somebody would say, well, how long is long? I've got a notion that we ought to be able to tell from looking how long is. You know how long a sermon is? You know, right? How long is a man's hair? You know how long is. You know how long that is. When it gets real bushy, it's just too much. It's just too much. Cut it off. The Bible says that if a man has long hair, it is a shame unto him. And it is a shame. It is a shame. It gets all tangled up. A man don't need long hair. He don't need long hair. It gets in the way. Absalom had long hair, right? Yeah. But he was not a follower of God at all. He was not. Nature teaches you. Nature teaches you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Even the forces of nature know the difference. But, verse 15 begins with the word but. But, if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. And is. For hair is given her for a covering. Verse number 15. A lot of women, and I say this because of what they've told me, that they had a lot of confusion about verse 15. For her hair is given her for a covering. That's why she covers it up. Why? Because she is, according to verse number 3, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God, because of verse number 3. That's why she needs to cover that hair up. The hair is her glory. She covers it up with a covering because of what it says in verse number 3. The subject in this particular passage is the head covering. That's what it's all about. As Paul writes to this church that was doing a lot of things wrong, they had not done this wrong. I don't think here in this place that Paul is writing to the Corinthian church to correct that. I don't think that at all. I think they were doing that. Therefore, Paul is using the head covering as an example of the Lord's Supper, which will just follow. And he's writing, beginning in verse number 8, talking about things offered unto idols. The context is very important. Understand the context. So in verse 15, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. When she stands before God in services, when a woman stands before God in services, she needs to reflect her husband's glory. That's why she covers up her own. The man, he is portraying Christ, and Christ is portraying God. That's what verse 3 is talking about. her hair is a covering. That's why she covers it up. Because when she stands before God, she's standing there with her husband. Verse 3 says that. She's standing before God in worship services, and she is covering up her hair because she's standing with her husband, who it does not have a covering on, and they're glorifying God through Christ as a couple. That's what they're doing. But in verse number 16, he says this. But if any man, and I remark here about if any man, seem to be contentious. I think the problem with a lot of things in this world is not women. But I think the problem is men. If any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. If any man, I could be wrong. I could always be wrong. But it seems like that men, oftentimes, they're the problem. Not when they demand their wife wear a covering. I think that's wrong. But when a man will not allow his wife to wear a covering, I think that is wrong. When a man refuses to listen, to obey the call of God in this order that he's given. That's why the Bible said in verse number 16, if any man, and I think he's talking about men, not just mankind. I think he's talking about men. Men who want to do what they want to do and use the scriptures to prove it. That's bad. That's always bad. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God's name be glorified and honored. And let every man submit himself to Almighty God through Jesus Christ, standing before God, and as he stands there with his wife by his side, and she's covered her hair, her hair is her glory, and she says, my glory belongs unto you in this. I think that's what he said in verse number 16. If any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Notice the word is not church. Notice the word is churches, plural. These are the assemblies that are scattered throughout a great area. There's no other custom. There's nothing else. We have no such custom to be contentious at all, but rather the churches ought to be submissive to God. But you know how a church becomes really submissive to God? You know how it really works? It's when husbands are submissive to God. It's when wives are in submission to their own husbands. In the Lord, this is right. That's how it works. It may be a small thing you might think that you're doing, but it is not. Remember that the angels are watching over. The angels are looking into the things that we're doing here. And we need to do what God wants us to do. Always before God as He wants us to be, submissive unto Him. What's true in our church ought to be true in every church. It ought to be. But we can't control anybody else. But we need to be what God wants us to be, and be foremost in our hearts and our minds to be obedient unto Him. Okay? All right. I'm all done. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer, if you would, and pray that the Lord help us tonight that we might be what He wants us to be. Our precious Father, I thank You, Lord, that You let me preach this. Lord, I pray that You might bless our people, each one of them, that they might understand the importance of this doctrine, that we might not take it as something falsehood at all, but rather, Lord, that we might take it as being what we need to be submissive unto You, that Your name would be glorified and Your name would be honored. Lord, I pray that You would make Your way and Your will known. I pray, Lord, You might just forgive us for our sins. Watch over us, Lord. Keep us close to You. Have us, we might be what You want us to be. Help us in our church. I pray, Lord, that You might save us who are lost. Help us, Lord, that we might be teachers of good things, that Your will might be done in us. I thank You, Lord, for the way You blessed tonight. Lord, I pray that You might help. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Let me be close to You. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, brother, if you